Penguin Random House Audio presents Warrior Rising, How Four Men Helped a Boy on His Journey to Manhood by Marianne Howland. Read for you by Adenrale Ojo. For my son, my superhero, Excelsior. I'd rather be a mother with only a mother's name than to gain all earthly glory or be known by worldwide fame. I'd rather be a mother and press a little hand than to receive the highest favors as first lady of the land. I'd rather be a mother and caress a little cheek than possess the greatest riches that folks on earth may seek. I'd rather be a mother and a child's future hold than live in costly palaces with kings and queenly gold. Affixed to a gift from the High Hopes Center. Author unknown. Introduction. For my son's 13th birthday, I gave him a black mitzvah. It was not just a one-day celebration. It was a rite of passage that lasted 6 years. My gift to him included 4 mentors to help him on his journey from boyhood to manhood and who keep on giving to this day. I thought it was important to demarcate for my son the moment when it became necessary to take charge of his own life and to find his role in his community. But I also wanted to give him more. I wanted to give him wind beneath his wings. I have been asked, why a black mitzvah? After an extended search for rites of passage on the internet and asking many friends, I found that there were few such traditions available to us where we live in the South that exactly fit our family's background and culture. During my search, I learned of East African and Australian traditions where Barabeg and Aboriginal boys are made men through practices that include scarification, banging your penis with a rock, or having your teeth knocked out. Ouch! Quite frankly, Max would not be having any of that. I found other less painful examples of rite of passage ceremonies, but none seemed to suit my young African-American middle-class boy who dresses in Gap clothes, obsesses over anime, and loves to draw. Somehow I just could not see him embarking upon a Maasai lion hunt or doing a walkabout in our urban community. However, I did find aspects of different religious and cultural rite of passage traditions that I could draw on. For instance, the Native American vision quest involves a boy leaving home for a time and then returning with a newfound sense of purpose as a man. That I could use, and we did. One of the most accessible and empowering of all of the ceremonies I researched was the Jewish bar mitzvah. It doesn't involve pain, extreme risk, or leaving home, though my son might argue that the discipline of learning moral and religious responsibilities involves mental pain. I admired many aspects of the bar mitzvah and sought to incorporate them into our own plan. But the element that drew me the most was the community celebration for boys as they embark on their journeys to adulthood and spiritual maturity. I had first heard of the idea of a black mitzvah from a friend who used the term to describe how she had enlisted some very special men in her life to mentor her son. I was intrigued and could immediately see the value of this kind of group parenting. No matter whether you are single, married, black, white, Baptist, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, or however you identify, we are all part of a community, and we can all help one another raise our children, and should. As the saying goes, it takes a village. So I borrowed and expanded on her idea and what I had learned about the bar mitzvah to create a foundation for my son's journey to manhood that included a long-term commitment of love, learning, mentorship, and community. By its simplest definition, a mitzvah is a good deed. My son's black mitzvah was a good deed that extended over 6 years, from age 13 through 18, to prepare him for life with a foundation of respect, responsibility, and accountability. Four remarkable men, warriors, performed a mitzvah when they each stepped up to ensure that he would grow to become a man of principles and values, a global citizen. The deed was sacrosanct because Max is no ordinary boy. He was born with disabilities. He has cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and suffered with chronic migraines through age 15. Though he had inordinate challenges, above all, he was just a boy yearning to become his own man. These four men understood that and helped nurture his many natural gifts so that he could realize his full potential. Throughout his adolescence, my son had the guidance of mentors who committed to one-on-one time at least once a year and immediate access anytime he needed them. My role was to inform the mentors of new developments, concerns, challenges, and celebrations. By the time he reached the age of 18, Max was grounded with a moral foundation to become the hero he wants to be. His relationships with these four mentors transformed into man-to-man relationships and, as one of his mentors proclaimed, the real mentoring is yet to come. In addition to the many lessons, we have all gained so much more from the fellowship, unity, and shared life experiences. I continue to be overwhelmed by the impact of all his mentors' unwavering commitment to Max's lifelong mental and spiritual health and well-being. Chapter 1. Beginning My Life as a Single Mom. Ships at a distance have every man's wish on board. For some, they come in with the tide. For others, they sail forever on the horizon, never out of sight, never landing until the watcher turns his eyes away in resignation, his dreams mocked to death by time. That is the life of men. Zora Neale Hurston. Their eyes were watching God. Life happens. My life began the day Max was born. 3 years before he kicked a hole in my placenta, a war was raging in the Persian Gulf, causing the economy to stumble, and with it my once booming promotional writing career. In a sluggish market, one of the first expenses to get cut from a corporate budget is marketing, where I made my living. The threat of mounting bills forced me to consider alternatives for lowering my operating costs, and the promise of new opportunities led me to a move from New York to Nashville, a city on the brink of a boom. I had met a soldier, a pilot in the 101st Airborne in Clarksville, Tennessee, when he was visiting New York on leave. In his uniform, he looked like stability and felt like a cool drink of water in the desert heat. He helped seal the deal. I gave my business a reboot in a new city where I had no connections and no network, only a dream of a new life. Coming to Nashville with my high roller New York City portfolio, I found myself on the guest list of every elite social event. It seemed as if a swanky, embossed, artfully decorated invitation printed on expensive thick stock appeared in my mailbox every day. I tried to go to every event. I loved dancing with my new husband on a ballroom floor, dressed in a hot new item I'd picked up on a quick visit to the third floor of Saks Fifth Avenue on my last trip to New York City to check in on my clients. Things were looking up. I felt that I had regained control of my life, but this feeling did not last for long. It is amazing how quickly things can change. I could never have anticipated how much I would soon be drawing on the support of my new village, especially after terrifying circumstances raised my inner screams to the volume.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?